But if you close your eyes. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some international laws the U.S. just broke. Move on to a 79-year-old man's fantasies of colonizing Greenland, and follow all of that up with the murder of Rene Good. Let's begin, shall we? Starting with the most dictator-taught distraction from the Epstein files not being released in its entirety on December 19th, like the Epstein Files Transparency Act said. Oh, and don't forget about the fact that only 1% of the total Epstein files have been released so far, and that is according to court documents. But I digress, because we were talking about the distraction from all of that billionaires on children stuff the pedo-in-chief allegedly, but most definitely did, during his decades-long friendship with Jeff and Max. And that is the kidnapping of the Venezuelan president and his wife. Cue the international community.
The United Nations Security Council held an emergency meeting Monday, 2 days after U.S. forces captured Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro. The top U.N. official warned that America may have violated international law with its unilateral action.
The Secretary General was, quote, deeply concerned the rules of international law have not been respected. He also said the actions of the U.S. constitute a dangerous precedent.
When people start saying international law, it's against international law, you know that they have no other recourse, because there really is no international law.
There's no international law that holds us back, because international law is fake.
We live in a world that is governed by strength, that is governed by force, that is governed by power.
Every once in a while, we got to send a bunch of commandos to kick in your door and drag you into a helicopter in the middle of the night in handcuffs. And if that violates international law, well, find someone else to enforce it.
We are the dominant predator, quite frankly, force in the Western Hemisphere.
There is no such thing as international law. It is nonsense. You know what international law really is? Law of the jungle.
There is no such thing as international law. What rules the world and has ruled humanity is the law of the jungle. We rule the jungle. We are the lion.
All right there, cowardly lion. Slow your roll. I realize a steady diet of the various flapping heads over at Fox Not a News Channel, the Reichwing's token Jew, and a couple of small dick dudes have got you feeling some type of way, but calm the fuck down. First of all, international law is a thing. Going all the way back to Sumeria and 31 BCE with the creation of treaties between that country and the Hittites. And then you have Egyptians adding to that by creating diplomacy in 1279 BCE, just for shits and giggles. Oh, and then you have the Peace of Westphalia in 1648 that created sovereign states, interstate relations, and you guessed it, more treaties. And then there is the UN Charter of 1945, something your fan base probably would remember firsthand, that codified Westphalia's principles of international cooperation by the use of, that's right, the establishment of modern international laws to ensure peace, security, human rights, and each country can rest assured knowing that another country isn't going to just show up in the middle of the night to disappear the leader of their government.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
Wait.
Everybody calm down!
And that is what I like to believe it sounded like from the other side of the curtain slash makeshift skiff the commander in Thief had thrown together in the ballroom of his retirement home in Florida while this all went down. Because who cares if your golf members peer behind the curtain while you're committing international war crimes when you've got front row seats to the most unnecessary must-see TV in history. And yet, your unusually smooth geriatric brain still can't recount the events accurately, just like the rest of your minions. Go figure.
After months of work by our intelligence teammates to find Maduro and understand how he moved, where he lived, where he traveled, what he ate, what he wore, what were his pets.
If you would have seen what happened, I mean, I watched it literally like I was watching a television show.
I've seen a lot of stuff, but this Venezuela thing, that was awesome. Oh, man.
Hey, look, I'm appreciative of what the president has done with this. But, you know, when sometimes when you break a few eggs, we got to learn how to make some omelets with it. And this is exactly what we're going to do.
This is not a regime change. This is a demand for change of behavior by a regime.
This neoliberal frame that the United States' job is to go around the world and demanding immediate elections be held everywhere, immediately, all the time, right away. To create this vacuum.
The country, we went into the country and we seized the leader of Venezuela.
Damn straight we did.
And this is a very strong way to support democracy.
Nothing greater than an American president who liberates people.
Liberated them.
We're not about nation building.
The president doesn't want his natural resources. We don't want their oil.
The fuck he doesn't, Brian Kilmeade, senior dope at Fox Nazi propaganda channel. Blob the colonizer just said exactly what he wants to do and what this is all about. Roll tape.
We're going to have a presence in Venezuela as it pertains to oil. We're going to get the oil flowing the way it should be. We're going to be taking out a tremendous amount of wealth out of the ground.
We need total access. We need access to the oil.
In other words, we'll be selling oil.
China can buy all the oil they want from us. Russia can get all the oil they need from us. We'll be open for business almost immediately. I have a feeling the $100 million will be spent. Will be spent very, very rapidly by these very big, powerful, and rich companies. And I think they're going to be able to rebuild the infrastructure.
Spoken with the oil companies about yes. going into Venezuela.
I have.
Speak with them before the operation took place.
Yes.
Did you maybe tip them off?
Before and after.
Mr. President, in your conversations with these oil executives today, did you provide any security guarantees so that they can do their work safely in Venezuela? Yeah. And separately, Mr. President,
they will have those guarantees, yes. So we're going to discuss how these great American companies can help bring millions of barrels of oil production to benefit the United States. And yesterday, the number is 30 million barrels. Of oil was given to us by Venezuela. That's a lot of oil. It's about $4 billion worth, and it's on its way to the United States right now. So that's money that goes to the United States. Some will go to Venezuela, and some will go to the oil companies. We're going to be making the decision as to which oil companies are going to go in that we're going to allow to go in. We're going to cut a deal with the companies. And you have total safety, total security. And the people of the United States are going to be big beneficiaries because we're going to be extracting, you know, numbers of, in terms of oil, like, you know, few people have ever seen, actually. You're dealing with us directly. You're not dealing with Venezuela at all. We don't want you to deal with Venezuela.
Says the orangest robber baron this country has ever seen. Like I have been saying for weeks now, this entire thing with Venezuela, from targeting refugees in this country to blowing up several hundred fishermen and moving on to meal teams sixing their president on a Saturday night, has everything to do with ExxonMobil wanting their oil back. This same company that used to be called Standard Oil was only able to become the climate change monster that we know today by exploiting Venezuela's oil reserves for decades, and was rightfully given the boot in 2007 for refusing to give Venezuela their fair share of the profits from their own fucking oil. Now that they have a friend in the Trump regime, they are seizing their chance to get back to exploiting a country for greed while Eric's dad gets to play out his very own mind and competent fantasy of controlling the majority of the world's oil. Oh, and while we're on the subject of Nazi invasions, idiocracy style, it seems like Sundowning Don constantly complaining and publicly lamenting over wanting to get his tiny hands on Hispanic countries like Colombia, Mexico, and Cuba is starting to sound like, I don't know, a threat after Venezuela. And then there's that whole thing with Greenland.
Colombia is very sick, too, run by a sick man who likes making cocaine and selling it to the United States. And he's not going to be doing it very long. Yeah. By the way, you have to do something with Mexico. We need Greenland. Cuba is ready to fall. You know?
Yes. President Trump is intensifying his push for the U.S. to acquire Greenland, one way or another, refusing today to rule out military force.
After the U.S. operation in Venezuela, the wife of Trump official Stephen Miller posted to social media an image of Greenland with an American flag overlaid and the word soon.
The president has been clear for months now that the United States should be the nation that has Greenland.
Right, but can you say that military action against Greenland is off the table?
The real question is, by what right does Denmark assert control over Greenland? Obviously, Greenland should be part of the United States.
So you can't take it off the table that the U.S. would use military force to seize Greenland. You can't take it off the table.
I understand, Jake. The United States should have Greenland as part of the United States. Nobody's going to fight the United States militarily over the future of Greenland.
Damn, Gargamel. You don't have to tell everyone in the world you don't know jack shit about history while sounding like a 40-year-old virgin demanding more pizza rolls from his mother from the comfort of her basement. And yet, here we are, about to go over middle school level history, world history, by the way, because the Reich Wing not only likes the poorly educated, they're also members. For starters, in 1951, the Defense of Greenland Agreement was created between the United States and Denmark so America could set up military bases in Greenland for the sake of the North Atlantic Treaty. And as part of that agreement, it was that Greenland gets to be its own thing and the U.S. promises to never try to steal it from the Danes. Because that would be a sort of bitch slap in the face to their sovereignty, as well as Greenlanders' right to be free and all that sort of shit.
President Trump has not ruled out military force to take Greenland, is edging NATO towards the previously unthinkable in its nearly eight-decade history. This is the possibility that one NATO member here, the United States, could start a conflict with another NATO member here, Denmark, the leaders of the United Kingdom, of France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Spain have now joined Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen and issued a joint statement of solidarity, a warning to the Trump administration that Greenland belongs to its people, it's for Denmark and Greenland and them only to decide on matters concerning Denmark and Greenland.
Dear President Trump, listen very carefully. Greenland have been part of the Danish kingdom for 800 years. It's an integrated part of our country. It is not for sale. Let me put it in words you might understand. Mr. Trump, f*** off.
Never underestimate the power of a well-positioned F-bomb, my dearies. Heck, it only took Maduro making fun of the way Kankles McTaco Tits dances to get him a one-way ticket to a New York City 4x6 special. And while we're on the subject of who's going to kick America's ass for trying to colonize Greenland, who can forget about that whole Musketeers-inspired Article 5 from NATO that says an attack on one is an attack on all?
Now it's all for one, all for love.
To put it in perspective, we are talking about the combined military might of 32 countries across this globe, such as Canada, Denmark, France, Italy, Spain, Germany, and a whole lot of former USSR states like Poland, Hungary, and even Slovenia, for all of you Melania fans out there. But tell me again how this dumbass deserves a Nobel Peace Prize.
And now for something completely different.
By now you have probably seen the dozens of videos showing multiple angles of the murder of Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis this week. I know I have. And for exposition purposes, Renee Good was a 37-year-old white woman who just come back from dropping off her 6-year-old at school driving down the street where she lives, to find Ice Barbie's frozen Gestapo harassing her neighbors in the name of white supremacy. Renee positioned her car in the road, even allowing ICE vehicles to pass her, which was apparently way too much for the soon-to-be cold-blooded killer of an ICE agent named Jonathan Ross, who got out of his car, began circling Renee's Honda Pilot, recording with his phone the entire murder he was about to commit, including some choice words he had for Renee after he shot her 3 times in the face. Roll tape.
Come talk to us later. That's fine. U.S. citizen. You want to come at us? You want to come at us? I say go get yourself some lunch, big boy.
Go ahead.
Get out of the
car.
Bitch.
You heard him. Fucking bitch. That's what Jonathan Ross said as he watched Renee's car crash into a utility pole and several parked cars because he had just shot her in the face 3 times. The maggot and U.S. vet who murdered Renee was standing to the left of the front of her car when he leaned over the hood and fired the first shot right in her face, point blank range, as she was making a sharp right turn to avoid him and get away. John did not think one bullet was enough for a mother of two who was beloved by her community and her family, a poet by trade. So he fired 2 more rounds into the open driver's side window just to make sure he killed her. And there are videos showing the murder from multiple angles, including the one John uploaded himself, showing how he was holding his phone in his right hand to film the car, but switched hands seconds before he shot Renee in the face. Probably because he shoots with his right hand. But never mind all of those pesky facts, because Puppy Killer Gnome is out in front of the press, dressed like a stop-motion animated version of a clown in a cowboy costume, within seconds, just to remind everyone, or basically anyone who still listens to her, not to believe what they saw on those videos.
ICE officers and agents approached the vehicle of the individual in question, who was blocking the officers in with her vehicle, and she had been stalking and impeding their work all throughout the day. ICE agents repeatedly ordered her to get out of the car and to stop obstructing law enforcement, but she refused to obey their commands. She then proceeded to weaponize her vehicle, and she attempted to run an law enforcement officer over. This appears as an attempt to kill or to cause bodily harm to agents, an act of domestic terrorism. The ICE officer, fearing for his life and the other officers around him and the safety of the public, fired defensive shots. He used his training to save his own life and that of his colleagues. He was treated at a local hospital, has been released, and is now with family. I encourage the American people at this point in time to pray for him. People are being trained and told how to use their vehicles to impede law enforcement operations and then to run over anybody who gets in their way while they go out there and try to disrupt peace and public safety. And Americans deserve better. I'm asking the Department of Justice to prosecute it as domestic terrorism.
The officer was following his training.
He did follow his training because of an individual that was
point blank into a driver's window. Is that part of the training? How is that self-defense?
This is an experienced officer who followed his training.
And you called for a domestic terrorist, though, without an...
This was an act of domestic terrorism, which is perpetuating... These policies and procedures that follow a use of force situation like this are continuing to be put in place. So this is standard operating procedure.
No the fuck it isn't. In 1985, SCOTUS ruled in Tennessee versus Garner that law enforcement officers cannot use deadly force to stop a moving vehicle operated by an unarmed person, which Renee was, because the only things in her glove box were plushies, according to pictures from the scene. But who could forget about DHS's own use of force policy, which states law enforcement cannot shoot a moving vehicle when there are options for defense, like taking two steps to the left, as Jonathan Ross neglected to do. Renee pulled her vehicle to the right, attempting to leave after an SS asshole tried to open her driver's side door. But you know what? Who cares about all of these facts leading up to the murder of Renee Good by Jonathan Ross when you've got a herd of bloodthirsty Republicans ready to villainize a woman who was so good? It was literally her name.
What's your initial reaction when you see the videos of yesterday's shooting?
But I think you'll verify what's on the video. It appears to us that the officer involved was operating in self-defense. He made a snap judgment, as they do. He had been drugged behind a vehicle already, we now know, this particular officer, and he felt that his life and the life of his fellow officers and potentially bystanders was in danger.
If you impede the actions of our law enforcement as they seek to repel foreign invaders from our country, you get what's coming to you. I do not feel bad for the woman that was involved. Stay away from our law enforcement officers.
She was a disruptor, though she considered herself a legal observer. But there's no evidence she had a law degree.
Classic law enforcement moment. They have to fire their weapon, and then when you see her car crash, they're never looking to be able to take the life of individuals, but they're also trying to be able to protect themselves and the folks that serve around them.
We know that our law enforcement officers are there to keep them safe. They're there to enforce the law, not create rhetoric that emboldens people to actually push back. And I think the left has got to stop. You've got to be more responsible, and you have to stand shoulder to shoulder with the people who are here to keep us safe.
So I'm angry. That this officer has to deal with what he's going through for something that was completely justified. The lesson to the left needs to be stay out of the way of our law enforcement as they go about their jobs.
And just so that we are crystal clear, Republiturds are okay with jackbooted thugs killing you if that's what it takes to complete their mission of making America pasty as fuck. And they don't even care that Renee was white because she was also a lesbian, and that pisses them off knowing there's one less white woman as an option. But more so because Renee's partner called Jonathan Ross a big boy who was probably hangry, which is apparently justification for shooting her partner in the face 3 times. All the more reason why an insecure man-child who's admittedly traumatized by an incident that he caused last June during another unnecessary ICE-style raid where John broke a car window, tasered the driver in the head, face, and shoulder while the car was in motion, prompting the driver to press on the gas and drag John 12 seconds, resulting in a lot of stitches for John, but apparently no psychological evaluation. Because Mar-a-Lago Face Gnome is out there using that incident and that trauma as an excuse for John murdering Renee. As if deploying a mentally unstable man to conduct kidnapping raids is any kind of flex in the first place, let alone an excuse for killing a woman in cold blood just because her girlfriend called you a big boy.
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
And with all of that out of the way, I present to you the words of Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, who said what any decent person would say at a time like this.
We've dreaded this moment since the early stages of this ICE presence in Minneapolis. What they are doing is causing chaos and distrust. They're ripping families apart. They're sowing chaos on our streets. And in this case, quite literally killing people. They are already trying to spin this as an action of self-defense. Having seen the video of myself, I want to tell everybody directly, that is bullshit. This was an agent recklessly using power that resulted in somebody getting killed. There were dozens, if not hundreds, of ICE and federal officers that were there at the time. Having them there was only causing more chaos. Having them there was only making a difficult situation even more problematic, and one that, yes, they created themselves. And I have a message for ICE. Get the fuck out of Minneapolis.
And for that matter, get the fuck out of every city, town, municipality in this entire United States. Because you have shot 15 people, injuring 7 of them, killing 4 since the bird-legged hoe deployed you onto our streets last June.
Christy Noom is a bird-legged hoe.
I say Christy Noom is a bird-legged hoe. Oh,
Christy Noom is a bird-legged hoe. That hoe has got to go.
And as far as the coverage of Renee's murder, it was disgusting, at least for me, to watch ABC and CBS News going for the let's besmirch the victim while blaming her approach to this, while maintaining a steady stream of Ice Barbie lying about Renee any chance they got. It happened so often I almost thought I was watching Fox the Right Wing Channel for a hard moment there, but I guess 3 is the magic number. And who could forget Mascara Vance giving his big boy voice a workout as he lectured the press about what their role is in the White House's national gaslighting of the narrative of Renee's murder.
The way that the media, by and large, has reported this story has been an absolute disgrace, and it puts our law enforcement officers at risk every single day. They ought to tell the truth, that a group of left-wing radicals have been working tirelessly, sometimes using domestic terror techniques, to try to make it impossible for the President of the United States to do what the American people elected him to do, which is enforce our immigration laws. Everybody who's been repeating the lie that this is some innocent woman who was out for a drive in Minneapolis when a law enforcement officer shot at her, you should be ashamed of yourselves, every single one of you. How have you let yourself become agents of propaganda of a radical fringe that's making it harder for us to enforce our laws? She tried to run somebody over with her car, and the guy defended himself when that happened. What's not reasonable is for so many of you to plaster all over the media that this was an innocent woman and that the ICE agent committed murder, which is what many of you have said explicitly and some of you have said implicitly. That's what I have an objection to. The idea that this was not justified is absurd. I think everybody knows it in their heart.
Hey, so check this out, Bloated Vance. As a member of the infotainment industry, not that that's anything, but I say with my whole chest, Jonathan Ross is a murderer. He deserves to be tried, convicted, and sentenced to the death penalty, and I don't fully believe in that sort of punishment. But when an incel man baby gets his panties all in a bunch because a woman is nice to him while he's trying to intimidate her with his phone, and then her partner tells him he's a fat piece of shit, he responds by leaning over the hood of a car in order to shoot the driver point blank in the fucking face. I think it's only fair Jonathan gets the judicial equivalent of the way that he treated Renee Good. And by the way, her family started a GoFundMe, hoping to raise maybe like $50,000 for the funeral and Renee's 2 children, but ended up with over $1 million. So what did they do? They shut down the GoFundMe. Renee's partner said, that's enough, and thanked the donors, asking them if they want to help, please donate to other victims of bitchy gnomes thugs like Keith Porter, who was a black man shot and killed by an off-duty icicle. And we aren't really hearing anything about him. But in any case, I want to leave you with this thought from Rachel Maddow, because now is the time. We should all be asking ourselves and each other, how far are we willing to let this regime go before we say enough is enough?
Clearly, I think if we're being honest, we sort of stop beating around the bush about it. There's really no question what the United States is up against right now. I mean, the intentions of this president are not a mystery. There's no suspense. There's no ambiguity, right? We know exactly who he is. We know exactly what he wants to do to the country. The real mystery is, will he succeed? Will he get what he wants? The answer to that question will come from the people of this country. The most important story of our time is this one. What is this country going to allow him to do? This is an attempted authoritarian overthrow of the United States Constitution and the U.S. government, the attempted imposition of a dictatorial regime. That is clear. That is unambiguous. The question is whether it will work. And the way we will find out whether or not it's going to work, it's going to be something that happens in the streets and in the courts and in the states. The strength of the movement against him is what will determine our fate as a country. What we are seeing over and over again is that protesting against him works, that he wants to seem strong, but he is not that strong. Organizing against him works. Fighting him in court works. Pushing back works. Protesting in the streets works.
And that is why I want to invite all of you listening to participate in the National Free America Walkout at 2 p.m. local time on January 20th. Walk out of wherever you are, at work, at home, and please feel free to visit america.ca to find out more and where the other walkers will be gathering near you. We the people are the one thing these bloated villainaires are counting on to keep going to work, paying our bills, and buying their overpriced bullshit, while our democracy, our rights as humans, our very lives are being taken from us by unqualified racists who, last big accomplishment that we know about, is smearing shit all over our nation's capital 5 years ago. This government doesn't deserve one more second of our lives, and it's time that we take this country back, starting January 20th. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again will air every Sunday. You can follow me or the show on lots of social media platforms all across the interwebs. And we are always available for your listening pleasure wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-der for now.
I've had more dangerous encounters at gas station counters in the Walmart parking lot. But the smaller the man, the quicker the plan goes to somebody's getting shot. Kevlar and jeans, a mask and a gun and a badge for everyone in the mob. You probably don't need to shoot someone in the face to do the thing that you're calling a job. How's work? Well, they got a shooting women now. How's the pay? Well, there's a bonus if you're wanting in. How's the hours? We shoot them in the daylight, and then we steal them away in the dark of the night. Only the best and the brightest, only the finest get to put on the sacred mask. If you ever been fired, congrats, you're hired for this particular task. Now they'll circle the wagons, drape the man in a flag, and say don't trust what your eyes can see. They'll say it's her fault instead for getting shot in the head when we all watch the same damn thing.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.